Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this year, according to our lectionary, the good St. Matthew takes a turn to teach us something about the baptism of our Lord. The baptism of Jesus, it was a major milestone in the ministry of Jesus. When the apostles met to find a replacement for Judas, the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to set the requirements for his replacement. He said, "One of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." These words from St. Peter teach us that Jesus' baptism is the very beginning of his ministry now. The baptism of Jesus in the Jordan points us forward to all the work Jesus did for us, his perfect life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the work, all the work that he still does among us as our risen and ascended Lord. It points us forward to our own baptism as a means for the Holy Spirit to deliver Christ's salvation to us. Now, as we work through these gospel accounts, we learn that there were a select few people who had special knowledge of Jesus' identity as both true man and true God. Up to this point in Matthew's gospel, there's just a very few that know who Jesus really is. Mary, his mother, Joseph, his father, Angels know who this really is because they proclaimed his birth to the shepherds. The Holy Spirit revealed the special nature of Jesus to two people in the temple. You remember who they were? Simeon and Anna, the prophetess. Remember the song of Simeon, "Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy glory." And then we come to one other. Now, people from Nazareth, what did they must think when Jesus was growing up? They all didn't know who and what Jesus was to be. That boy, that son of Joseph, Mary, that Jesus guy. You know? And if you were to ask most people about Jesus, they might have said, "Well, he's a pleasant kid. He's a hard worker. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and he ought to do well in life. But he's God?" That's a little hard to swallow, isn't it? Last Sunday, we talked about Jesus' circumcision and his getting his name, Jesus. As we are people who have the revelation of God in Holy Scripture, we know that this one event in many demonstrates that Jesus kept the law perfectly. Jesus kept the law perfectly. Even as a little baby, he kept the law perfectly. Nevertheless, for most people of that day and place, this was just one more boy being inducted into the community. From the time that Jesus entered the womb of the Virgin, he lived in holiness without sin, and even then, he took up the burden of the sin of the whole world. Up until the events that we just heard in today's gospel, Jesus did the work of saving us from sin in private, quietly, without any publicity. Nobody knew it. And that all changed when Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized. After about 30 years, it was time for Jesus to take his work public. As he began his public ministry, he came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him, our gospel today. He began to reveal himself and his work in the water of the Jordan River by his cousin John. Apparently, John was a member of that inner circle who knew the identity of Jesus. Remember his mother, Elizabeth, when Mary came to see her, the baby leapt in her womb. John knew who this man was. Perhaps God revealed the truth to him as one of the last Old Testament prophets. A lot of people call John the Baptist one of the last Old Testament prophets. But somehow John knew. Therefore, John was confused, really, when Jesus came to him to be baptized. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John was certain that the situation needed to be reversed. He needed the Messiah to baptize him. Many people struggle in much the same way that John struggled. The Bible tells us that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The natural question then is, wait a minute, Jesus is holy. He has no sin. Why did Jesus need to be baptized, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? That doesn't make sense to us, does it? Of course, Jesus had no need to repent of any of his own sins. He had no sin. Nevertheless, Jesus did have sin. Yeah. Kind of odd to think about it, isn't it? Jesus had sin. He had all of my sins. He has all of your sins. Jesus has all the sin of the whole world. He carried all that has gone wrong with us, all of it. He's carried it to the cross at Calvary. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, Jesus takes all of your sin, he takes it all into himself, so that even though he never sinned, he becomes now the greatest sinner. In becoming the greatest sinner, he becomes the perfect Savior, because our sin now belongs to him. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. There's no separation now between us and Christ. He stands with us in the waters of holy baptism. Last week, when we confessed our sins, we said, "I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them." We said those words. Sometimes when I say those words, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not nearly as sorry as I really should be. And my repentance, it's not nearly as sincere as it should be either. Even when I confess my sins, my old sinful nature is still beating at me. We still have him. We drag him around. What comfort I can have today as I think of Jesus piled high with all of my sins there at the Jordan, and his repentance for my sins is perfect. When he gives me his righteousness, he even gives me the righteousness of his perfect repentance for my sin. And know that he does the same thing for you as well. So Jesus replied to John, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." This is how God decided that his righteousness and his judgment is to go. Jesus stands with us in the water. In this way, his righteousness is fulfilled. It's as Martin Luther has taught us to pray during a baptism, that whenever we baptize somebody, we say in that prayer, "Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin." It's what we say. It's what we pray. You can know that Jesus was baptized for you because of the great epiphany that happens afterwards. Our text says, "When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Here we have not only an epiphany of Jesus who was baptized, but also it's an epiphany of the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. And it's an epiphany of God the Father proclaiming his pleasure from heaven. It's pretty awesome. The delight and pleasure of God are in his beloved Son. Since the Holy Spirit works through your baptism to join you to this very same Son, the delight and the pleasure of God are in you also. So when God the Father speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," he's saying these words to you as well. You are his beloved. In you, he is well pleased. Now, you know, don't you, that there's one great difference between the baptism of Jesus and your baptism, though. When you remember your baptism, you remember that you are clean. Your sins are gone. You remember that God saved you according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on you richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, you are an heir according to the hope of eternal life. Now, on the other hand, when Jesus came up out of the water, he was dirty. He still had your sin. Isaiah 53, verse 6 tells us, "For the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." God's justice demands punishment for sin. He requires it. Our sin has earned us only eternal life in hell, and many times over. God's love for us seeks to save us from that eternal punishment. The only solution was for God himself to take up our human flesh so that he could take up all of our sin. Kind of makes sense to one when you study the Bible and you realize how sin has been passed along from generation to generation by the seed of Adam, by the seed of man. That's how sin is transmitted from one generation to the next, and how we're born into sin. But Jesus was born without the seed of any man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's what we believe. So he had no sin, even at his birth. As one good professor of mine at the seminary, good Dr. David Scarr, he said a time or two, he said, he had to be born without sin. Look what he had to take on. And by the time Jesus went to the cross, only 3 short years of a ministry. But look what he took on himself during those 3 years. All those sins of those people he came into contact with, all those people who he healed, he placed his hands on and he healed, all those he spoke to, all those he fed and forgave and took care of, he took all of that on himself in his human body for me and for you. He had to die. And then his punishment, his torture, and everything that he went through the trials, it's no wonder that when this centurion poked the spear in his side, what poured out? Water. There was no more blood left in him for you. So there on that cross, Jesus satisfied both God's justice and his love. God's justice was satisfied by punishing our sin in Jesus Christ. God's love was satisfied by punishing Jesus Christ instead of me and you. In this way, God punished our sin without punishing us, because he loves us. In solidarity, Jesus in the water is one of us. He suffers with us. He died for us. He begins healing the corruption that limits each of us. He begins healing the corruption that hides the truth from us. He shows us that he is the sinner's friend and savior. In his baptism, he publicly continues the work that makes me his own so that I may live with him forever. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen. We gather our offerings and tithes.